Friends, before we begin today's program, I need to update you on the Compassion Radio Summer Challenge. You probably know that summer is usually a time of low average giving for ministries. And that's true of Compassion Radio as well. Yet our operating expenses remain consistent throughout the year. So even as we rightly celebrate 75 years of continuing and uninterrupted ministry and partnership with you, right now we're facing a budget deficit that we just simply can't ignore. So I'll ask you today, can I count on you to make sure that Compassion Radio continues this year and in the years to come? We really need you to stand with us right now. Thanks so much for all you continue to do to help us reach out to the world through great partnership projects, and then to bring you the inspiring news of these projects each and every day. Bless you, friends, and thank you so much for standing with us right now.
Today on Compassion Radio.
It's not about us. It's God using an obedient, willing heart.
And obedient to whom is a real important question, because I do think there are plenty of generations of Christians around the world who have been trained to seek permission from the gift giver.
Yes.
And they think the gift giver is the person that brought them the gospel in the first place. They don't think about going and doing because the Holy Spirit's nudging them. They wait for the person they know to tell them it's time.
Right.
And they're waiting for direction, like a hierarchy. And that's common in many, many cultures. We do a grave disservice to the body of Christ when we allow that to continue.
Welcome once again to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. I'm your host, Frank Montenegro. And on today's broadcast, Bram talks with Greg Kelly of World Mission, an organization that delivers the Word of God in audio format to oral listeners living in unreached people groups. Here's Bram with the final part of that conversation.
There's more people on planet Earth that have not heard the gospel for the first time than any time in history.
The diverging why here.
Yes.
We have a subset that's expanding geometrically, but the world's exploding.
In those places, we have to ask ourselves, well, why is it? And there are other barriers that are in place. It's just not as simple as me showing up, for example, in Mogadishu. We'll just use Somalia as an example, where you know there's 25 Somalis that are almost exclusively Muslim, way under 0.5% Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just going to show up there with a megaphone and an enthusiastic, passionate Christian and start talking about Jesus, or I won't see you tomorrow if that's your strategy. It's not going to work. And so we need to do some heavy lifting and say, what are some strategies as it relates exclusively to Somalia where we can get the gospel in a culturally appropriate way, using nationals that are on the ground. So it's going to look different. It's a little more heavy lifting. It's not the way that missions have always been done. In every area that lacks a gospel witness, the same deep dive is necessary. Yeah. But quite honestly, Bram, I think what it comes down to, one of our guys in Sudan, I don't want to oversimplify it, but this is what he says. So I'll steal his words. He says, we're not willing to pay the price.
Yeah.
We want to do the shotgun, easy lifting, send our high school youth groups, get the Me Mission selfies, missions, which are good things, right?
Yeah.
We're taking care of orphans and widows in their distress, and we're taking care of the poor, and those are all good things.
You mentioned before, it's kind of like reaching for the low-hanging fruit.
It's all done. So I give people the visual. I say, go to the apple orchard, walk through there with your bushel baskets. And in Michigan, we've got wonderful apple orchards here. Walk through there, and you'll fill up bushel baskets of apples, and then at the end of the day, look, and you'll see a lot of apples left that you can't get by walking. You need cherry pickers, you need sticks, you need ladders, you need lots of other resources. And that's the same as the mission field. We need other tools and techniques to get this end times harvest.
And this alliance you work with is trying to figure out how to put all those tools to use appropriately in the right places. Because you don't want to be sending the wrong beans to one country they won't eat, for a metaphor coming from the World Aid side of things. You want to send the tools that could be useful.
And the 14 organizations that are founding members of the Alliance for the Unreached all complement one another. Geographically, strategy, one of the organizations focus on the deaf community. World Mission sends audio Bibles. Other organizations, their sweet spot is humanitarian outreaches that then open the door for a gospel witness. Some are children-focused.
Mm-hmm.
So each alliance member sort of complements, but all of us really champion this message because we really don't care how someone gets involved. We believe fundamentally if every follower of Jesus has an expression in their life of the ends of the earth, it's our generation that sees the fulfillment of the Great Commission.
It is. Being there to make disciples is the last thing I want to talk about. When we think about the Great Commission from a Western perspective, we hear, go preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's not what Jesus said.
Not what he said.
It is the first place we have to open our mouths and speak truthfully and honestly and to give testimony to what God has been doing in our lives and what he can do in other lives. But he said, make disciples. Yes. And so you talk about that deep dive. It means a lasting legacy and presence that you find people to raise up to follow him in the culture that God put them in.
Yes.
So how are you as an organization helping to formulate that plan for actually developing disciples, planting deep roots in those countries?
Well, that's a great question, and you're absolutely right. Jesus didn't call us to make converts. He didn't call us to just get as many people as you can to raise their hand to say, I want to follow Jesus. We tell people all the time that in the places that World Mission is working in, the unreached parts of the world, that converts won't survive.
Hmm.
You just won't survive. The price is too high.
Right.
If there hasn't been a genuine conversion to follow Jesus, which means you're giving up so much. I mean, we don't have much of a price to pay in the U.S.
Right.
We can get away with being, you know, the term a carnal Christian and show up at church on Sunday. We can get away with that and live like the world the rest. But in these places, discipleship making is imperative, and we believe it's impossible without two key things, and that is the body of Christ and the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And so if there's not a church, and when I say church, a lot of times our mind goes to the steeple and the beautiful stained glass window and all that. Well, so many places, that just doesn't work.
Right.
So your church is a house church. Yeah. It's under a tree. That's a church. Jesus didn't call us to go make buildings. Now, a lot of times that works in our setting, and it's a beautiful thing. But in so many places around the world, in Bali, where I was just at, you can't even do that. It's impossible for you just to go out, buy a piece of land, and build a building. You could have $1 million. You can't do it because you don't get permission.
Right.
So we have to have other solutions of gathering people together. The community of the body of Christ is critical. You can't survive being a convert, nor can you survive or become a disciple in isolation. You need fellowship. You need community. And that truth and principle applies everywhere. It's a universal truth. And so for us, we're constantly trying to create environments where people are gathering together, where they're growing together around the Word of God, whether they're listening to it or they're reading to it, so that they can grow in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Having just returned from China with Sandy just a few weeks ago, being reminded of how important the Word of God is in all of its forms. And being a very literate society, the printed word makes a lot of sense in China. There are still hill tribes that are not reached that would be very advantageous for you to be bringing those treasures in. You can't really have a body of Christ if you're alone. You're isolated, like you said. And the only things that grow in the dark and isolation are mushrooms and bad theology. You know?
Yeah.
We see lots of cults spinning off of that because they grab one little truth and warp it and make all kinds of weird things out of it. And how important it is for people to have the whole counsel of the Word.
Yes.
And it takes time to work it through to understand that this voice speaking to you from this Middle Eastern culture from thousands of years ago is still very present and real for you today in your culture. And making not a shift, but an awakening, an epiphany of this truth is a living truth, and it's going to live within me, and it's going to transform my entire society.
Yes.
If I will let God start working in me. But that takes a time of incubation of people surrounding those new believers to understand the power that is now in their hands and not frittering it away or having false conceptions of what this power can do for them.
Yes.
It takes that community and wise counsel and good teaching and time.
Yeah.
And worship.
That's right. That's right.
So when you go there, I know some of your fondest memories are not just of meeting people who are doing the work, but who are worshiping together, that God gave them a treasure when they gave away treasures. They have a family now that they didn't have before.
Yeah. It's very inspiring. I mean, to see in some of these places, it's first generations Christians.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that they're modeling their experience after. It's just this genuine, authentic, passionate love for Jesus. And that's what the worship is radiating. And it's just a beautiful thing. But it's also in these first generation areas, we have the opportunity to seed the idea of go with them. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of places that have been second, third, fourth generation, sometimes go doesn't get sort of established. Mm. So we get this unhealthy relationship where they're conditioned to be the recipient of us coming because we've got all the answers for everything.
And often the Westerner coming in with a solution.
Exactly, exactly. So many times it's handicapping.
Yeah.
And it's paralyzing in the sense of you've just created a very unhealthy dependency, spiritually speaking, instead of launching them out. So we see over and over somebody who just came to know Jesus is being launched out into evangelism. And I think that that's a beautiful thing. Are they going to get everything right? No. They're fearless, though. Mm. And this fresh experience of coming out of the darkness is just driving them to, I want to tell this person, I want to tell this person. And it comes back, Bram, to the issue of it's not about us. It's God using an obedient, willing heart.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. The second half of today's conversation with Greg Kelly of World Mission is coming up in just a moment.
This is Cher Nelson. In the old days, beginning back, 75 years ago with Norm's father, Wilbur Nelson, things were different. Christian radio broadcasts had no funding, no church support, only the love gifts that listeners sent. They gave not to receive anything, but simply because they understood that in order to hear a broadcast they cared about, airtime had to be paid. As the years went by and so many churches began to underwrite their pastors to be on the air, and a younger generation began to listen, a shift began in giving thinking. More of a trade mentality began to grow, a what do I get for my giving attitude. And so the premium became the impetus for giving. But we've always been a pure radio broadcast, doing our own daily programming without offering edited sermons from the Sunday pulpit. And since God called us to the activist ministry of Compassion Radio, we have put every gift received from you, our listeners, into airtime and compassion projects, not into creating attractive and wonderful but expensive products to offer to you. Over our 75 years, a majority of our dedicated, faithful monthly partners have gone on to glory ahead of us. No longer can we budget knowing what is pledged each month, as most of you give sporadically. But friends, we need a core of you to be our underwriting vision team, who will pledge an amount each month so that we know what we can undertake for the Lord. We know that your daily prayer support will follow your monthly giving, and we need you. Will you step up to that challenge? Of course, we need each one of you who care for us and believe in us to give what you can, and we pray for each of you who do. Here's Frank to tell you how you can be a part of the Vision Team or to give this month.
To support Compassion Radio, call 800-868-2478 or go to CompassionRadio.com. Or you can write P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And last but not least, you can text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And thank you so very much.
We're always on mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Compassion Radio is here not just to teach the truth, but to provide you with opportunities to do the truth. That's why we've built and supported an orphanage in Hong Kong, provided beds for homeless children in India, counseled street kids in Hollywood, ministered to widows, carried Bibles into China and Vietnam, helped establish churches and provide Bibles in Indonesia, North Korea, and Southeast Asia, provided sight for the blind in Africa, aided refugees from Kosovo, and given tens of thousands of dollars to feed the hungry. Our goal is to teach the word clearly and accurately, always applying that word to building the kingdom. And we invite you to join our family as we learn together, witness together, and serve together. Please go to CompassionRadio.com today to find out more about this ministry. Again, that's CompassionRadio.com.
Will burn for the lost. If we really love him and seek
back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Sometimes go doesn't get sort of established. Mm. So we get this unhealthy relationship where they're conditioned to be the recipient of us coming because we've got all the answers for everything.
And often the Westerner coming in with a solution.
Exactly, exactly. So many times it's handicapping.
Yeah.
And it's paralyzing in the sense of you've just created a very unhealthy dependency, spiritually speaking, instead of launching them out. So we see over and over somebody who just came to know Jesus is being launched out into evangelism. And I think that that's a beautiful thing. Are they going to get everything right? No. They're fearless, though. Mm. And this fresh experience of coming out of the darkness is just driving them to, I want to tell this person, I want to tell this person. And it comes back, Bram, to the issue of it's not about us. It's God using an obedient, willing heart.
Yeah. And obedient to whom is a real important question, because I do think there are plenty of generations of Christians around the world who have been trained to seek permission from the gift giver.
Yes.
And they think the gift giver is the person that brought them the gospel in the first place. They don't think about going and doing because the Holy Spirit's nudging them. They wait for the person they know to tell them it's time.
Right.
And they're waiting for direction, like a hierarchy. And that's common in many, many cultures. We do a grave disservice to the body of Christ when we allow that to continue. You know, shame on us when we demand of people that they wait for our permission to do something that God has already ordered them to do and has empowered them to do.
And I think it's beautiful. That is literally the launching pad or the point of origin of missions is that point. Because Jesus said, again, in Acts 1:8, when you receive the Holy Spirit and power, you will be my witnesses.
Right.
In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. So it wasn't, hey, just go be my witnesses. It's when you receive the Holy Spirit. And it's through that power and that understanding that you will be effective.
We don't have a right to tell people what to do with a gift.
No.
As Westerners and people who have supplied many of these resources that God has enabled us to do that, we have to also let them have ownership of the thing that God has told us to give them.
Yes.
And to admire what God's doing and wonder at it. When we go back and see what God has done through it in them is a marvelous thing.
We apply that principle to our treasures. We used to give a lot of instruction when we distribute a treasure, a little manual. Here's how you use a treasure. You set up this listening group, push this button and listen for 20 minutes or 30 minutes, and then ask these four questions and then hit pause and all these different things. And after about 3 months, we started getting feedback. And we were getting things like photos. I got a photo one time from Chad, N'Djamena, Chad, so a primarily Muslim area. One of our guys got favor with a guy who owns a radio station. Mm-hmm. They were looking for content. And so he showed up with a treasure that had these stories on it. And the guy said, hey, yeah, will you play that? So he sends me this photo with a microphone and a treasure. And he said, there's 500,000 people that can hear this, brother. Is that okay? It's not in the manual. And I said, great idea. Yeah. And we came back and said, you know what? Let's stop micromanaging what the Holy Spirit is going to tell these people and not box them in on our ideas. But let's let them be creative and let you know, God really lead them. And we've seen jimmy-rigged speaker systems that go to whole villages and people sharing them third, fourth, fifth generation. It's just amazing what God can do. But you're right about that idea. We have our ideas here and they're well-intended and they're good. But as the Holy Spirit is received in these areas, with that is going to come a contextualization of the gospel that is a beautiful thing, which is going to allow for that expansion and multiplication to take place.
I want to end our conversation with a challenge, and I want you to give it to us, Greg. How do we need to think and pray about the Great Commission right now? You're seeing it firsthand. Everywhere you go, every time you step on an airplane to go somewhere, you're going to step right onto the front lines of Great Commission. Yeah. That's what you do. And all of the thousands of people that work with you to bring the gospel in this living form, this audible form, to places that have never heard it before in their native tongue.
Yeah.
How should we be thinking about and praying for the way God is reaching the world in this generation?
Well, in this generation is the same as the generation from the first century church. And we need to start with pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth the laborers. That's where we need to start, Bram. But I think our idea of the laborers almost needs to be challenged a bit.
Okay.
Because historically, we've looked at laborers, and it's really been from the context of my friend, my uncle, my neighbor, a guy from church is the missionary that's going out, and we get kind of boxed in, and that becomes the exclusive view of a laborer. God is doing a beautiful thing in the third world among the nations of the earth, and laborers are being raised up. Many of them, like the people who distribute the treasure, 90% of them don't speak English, and we're okay with that because we know that we're getting into the harvest fields that are without a gospel witness. And so I think today, as the body of Christ, we need to be challenged a bit that there's way too many people living on planet Earth who have not had their first encounter with hearing about Jesus. Mm. And we're talking about over 2 billion people. And so once you start, you know, realizing that, we have to ask ourselves, where am I targeting my prayers? Mm. Where am I directing myself? If every Christian followed that model of we need to have a healthy love and compassion for our next door neighbor, because that's the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. We also have to have a healthy understanding of what God's doing in our hemisphere. And in the U.S., we've been so blessed with churches and abundance of just God's presence. And even, you know, going down to Latin America and South America, God's doing beautiful things, and we need to rejoice in that. But we also, at the same time, have to have some knowledge of a nation. And my specific challenge, Bram, would be that every follower of Jesus become aware of at least one nation. Mm. And when I say nation, I'm not talking about a country. I'm talking about a people group, because that's what that word means.
Identity.
Ethne, the people group. Yeah. And if every follower of Jesus, Bram, had knowledge of one nation, I mean, how can you pray for something you don't even know about? Yeah. And if we're just praying for generically, you know, America or our neighbor, we're missing the opportunity and the privilege to participate in God's greater plan, which is the nations. And so if we knew of one people group, for example, I'll just throw one out there, the Fulani. The Fulani are mainly northern Nigeria, but they're scattered throughout about 9 different countries throughout the middle part of Africa.
They've been making the news quite a bit in the past year because of the attacks on the Nigerian church.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And so the Fulani are an example. We might pull back because, oh, aren't they the ones that are killing people? Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, one of my closest friends who works in Nigeria, a guy that's distributing treasures, was killed last week by Fulani. He was killed by Fulani. He distributed treasures. He's made disciples. But here's the thing I tell people all the time. Jesus died for the Fulani.
Yeah.
And if his bride is not aware of them and praying for them, what chance do the Fulani have of coming to know Jesus? If the bride is not praying for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers among them. So I think we have a sense of illiteracy when it comes to knowledge of the nations that have never heard. We need to be praying specifically that the Lord would send laborers to a place like the Fulani. And I think if we can get to that place, and we all have expressions of that, we see the job get done in our lifetime.
Well, on one level, my friend, I'm very sorry you've lost your friend. It's a hard thing.
Yeah.
And there's not many people that I know of that have personal relationships with those who have been literally martyred for the cause of Christ. But because you work with people that are doing the very things that the Bible says will bring persecution, they will rise up to attack my name. Jesus promises that. This is living scripture here. I mourn him with you. I also celebrate the reality that he's in the very presence of Christ now. Yeah. We need to be willing to get to know those who are going to make that kind of sacrifice and do it willingly and pray with our whole heart. Thank you for sharing these stories, Greg. I look forward to the next time we get to sit around this table and hear what God's been doing.
That's right.
The mercies are new every morning with you. God is busy in all parts of this world that need to hear his gospel and need to experience real freedom. Thank you for sharing with us.
It's always a privilege and pleasure to be with you on Compassion Radio, Bram. Thanks for the opportunity.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.